Are we recording?
Yes, we're already recording.
Okay, great.
Brilliant start.
I'll give it a break. Welcome to That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast, DS. A triumphant return to the podcasting platform for our season 4 show, I guess. My name is Kanzi Wanwan, and I'm joined, as ever, by Richie. Say hello, Richie.
Hello.
And Richie, can you tell people where you might be able to find us? I mean, you found us, but...
You can find our podcast on places where you find good podcasts, but you can also find us on our website, www.thatguys.co.uk, and you can find us on most social platforms at That Guy's a Maniac, all one word, lowercase.
All lowercase, thank you. A slight bit of admin before we kick off. We're going to change the podcast slots. So it'll be coming out on a Thursday rather than a Wednesday. And we'll probably remember to put it on the socials maybe by Friday or sometime Saturday. Maybe the Wednesday the next week. Or maybe we just won't do it at all. You may have heard when we introduced this episode that we are calling this season That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast DS. And that is because every season needs a gimmick. We mix it up. We had adverts. We had office skits.
Oh.
We had the completely unmemorable thing we did last season.
We asked each other a question, did we not?
We asked each other a question. It wasn't... It was good. It just...
It's just... The office skit, I've still got PTSD about that.
Yeah. So I think, season 3 was a palate cleanser, and then season 4 we're back with a gimmick we may enjoy. And this season, as you may have guessed, is inspired by the Nintendo DS. And so what we are going to do is we had a TGAM AGM where we came up with a boatload of words beginning with a D. And a boatload of words beginning with S. And so each episode we'll randomly pick a D and an S to celebrate that little gimmick that the Nintendo DS had. And there are a lot of games which were released which had a D and an S subtitle, such as Crosswords.
DS at the end. That's quite smart. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a deep silver game. I knew nothing. You can get it for...
Really?
Pounds on eBay. Yeah, deep silver game. Crosswords, and the D of word is big and then has an S. So it's crosswords, but it's also crosswords.
Crosswar DS.
Crosswar DS, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's almost unfindable on search engines.
Yeah, I imagine that. That would be a tough one to find.
You just find crosswords.
Yeah.
Many millions of pages worth of crosswords.
Are we going to split this up?
We're going to have a first half of an episode based on a D word. Then we're going to have the middle of the podcast where we take a break, maybe review the first half, ask ourselves some questions from the Ultimate Video Game Trivia Quiz. Ultimate Video Game Trivia. And then with our palettes refresh, a second time I've used it this season. Maybe I'll use it a third time. We'll then finish with the S word second half of the podcast.
Great.
So Richie, would you like to pick our first D of season 4?
Yes, of course. Richie has the big bag of D's. Hang on a second. And I have pulled out...
Yeah.
Dinosaurs!
Oh, dinosaurs, that's a good one. I've got the equally big bag of S's. Gonna go really deep. I hope we don't milk this feature for all it's worth. I've pulled out an S.
Four.
Which is not the one we kept saying. Spiders?
Spiders, yes.
Spiders, sorry. Handwriting was really difficult to read. So there we go. Episode 1, season 4, Dinosaurs and Spiders.
Okay, let's kick this off. And I would also like to kick this off with thanking you for the heavy lifting at the start of the episode. Well done, good stuff. I'm also going to do absolutely nothing for the dinosaur segment because you are also Kunzi11 of Dinosaurs in Games fame.
Kunzi11's Dinosaurs in Games blog. So for long-term listeners of the blog, readers of the podcast, you'll know that I used to post quite a lot about dinosaurs and games to the point where it was too much. So I created a spin-off blog called Kunzi11's Dinosaurs and Games, where I tried to kind of find games which had dinosaurs in them. Until I lost interest in 2013. So this is the
10th anniversary of you losing interest.
After the last post, which is still up on Kunzi11's Dinosaurs and Games. I think the reason why I stopped doing it is because it started when I think it was kind of theoretically possible to pick out all the games or find all the games which had dinosaurs in. And I tried to play most of them. There's a lot of like, edutainment shovelware, that I ended up spending quite a bit of money on because quite hard to get hold of, as well as like massive titles, right? So Warcraft, World of Warcraft has some dinosaurs in it.
Feature in that one as well.
I think
I took
so,
some
yeah,
screenshots
you took,
for you.
You took loads of screenshots of the Ungaburo crater, whatever it is.
Ungoro crater. Yeah, well done. Yeah.
There's obviously lots of Jurassic Park tie-in games. Pokemon has a bunch of... It's dinosaurs and prehistoric creatures. Pokemon had a bunch of dinosaurs and prehistoric creatures. Animal Crossing, obviously, and then yeah, a bunch of others. I think one of the reasons I stopped is because it started to get... it's when gaming really exploded and it was just impossible to keep track of all the games with dinosaurs.
No.
And it was a quite unfortunate timing as well because it was just before proper dinosaur games started to come out. So that these games which have, you know, have chops in terms of being advised by paleontologists and having like quite obscure new-ish dinosaurs. So yeah, it was right before like Ark, Project Ark, Survivor. And other ones. Ark Survival involved. There's two other big ones which I'm just totally forgetting. I'm now just googling dinosaurs and games. I've not played any of them. Project something evolved. I don't know. Evo, Project Evo. Anyway.
Yes.
A whole bunch of quality dinosaur games which prided themselves on having accurate dinosaurs. Whereas before that, it was a bit gimmicky and a bit jokey. So one of my favourite posts on Kunzi11's Dinosaurs and Games was dinosaurs and prehistoric creatures in games was how it was always like the same four dinosaurs would
it was like the staples. Yeah,
they'd be like archetypes normally in a first person shooter. So you'd have like the annoying flying pterosaurs, which obviously are not dinosaurs, but they'd kind of fill the role of all annoying flying enemies in shooters like helicopters and drones and jetpack guys. Then you kind of have your little piddly annoyers of like your head crab level annoying things, which normally be Compsognathus or something like that.
And then the little spitters. Yeah. The little spitters.
No, the little biters.
Yeah, yeah.
And then your kind of velociraptors would be your standard bad guy.
Yeah, they would be the human sized, easy one to put in.
Yeah. Well, the one which you're shooting about 1,000 in the face continuously. And then your T-Rex, if you're being basic, or, you know, your Spinosaurus or whatever, the big boss.
Yeah, or it would just be the head of the T-Rex that you would be shooting. It wouldn't be, you wouldn't see the rest of his body or something like that. I'm reminded of something like that in Dino Crisis, I think.
Yeah, Dino Crisis.
Yeah. But just to quickly pause, because I'm sure a lot of our readers are just like, wait a minute, what? With regards to your pterosaur statement.
Yeah.
Obviously, they aren't dinosaurs. Now, that's not obvious to a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
So, do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of extinct animals. In fact, 99% of species on Earth are extinct, or have lived on Earth are extinct. But across that range, from origins of life, origins of vertebrates, origins of like multicellular macroscopic life, some organisms get a lot more of the limelight than others.
Yeah.
So obviously dinosaurs are exciting, they're large, they're kind of cool, get way more kind of attention. There are other, you know, are equally arguably cool big animals, but you know, like not that interested in extinct mammals, etc. But then living at the same time as them, which was a huge chunk of time, like 160 million years, whatever it was, you also had other large reptiles, one of which is the marine reptiles, so things like ichthyosaurs, mosasaurs, plesiosaurs. And then in the skies, you have the pterosaurs, which were flying reptiles. And very commonly, just in popular culture, I mean, you know, you find it incorrect everywhere you look. Newspaper headlines, sci-fi based on prehistoric times. All those reptiles kind of get grouped together. But actually, the marine reptiles and pterosaurs are a separate group of reptiles, which happen to be large, happen to live and die throughout the Mesozoic, and then the rest are kind of your dinosaurs.
Yeah, the dinosaurs as an umbrella term for the social consciousness kind of puts everything under there.
Yeah, everything that you see, you know, together, the big swimming things, the big flying things, and the big land things often get called, grouped together as dinosaurs. And many of the dinosaur-based and themed games would just quite happily just mix them all in and not really think about it, or make any kind of statement to the fact that they were not truly dinosaurs. In addition to having games based on dinosaurs, there are lots of museums with dinosaurs in them. So I think is it GTA 4? Yeah. They kind of cop out and by not wanting to render the entirety of the American Museum of Natural History. But you can sneak in. I think there's a mission you have to do in there. And there's just like one dinosaur skeleton in the central hall.
Oh, but still, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool they put something in there. I think it's they kind of make it, if memory serves, they kind of make it look like the museum's under construction or refurbishment. So that's why you don't fill it up with dinosaurs. Probably one of the best dinosaur museums is in Stranglehold. Nobody talks about Stranglehold anymore, but I remember when it came out, it was a big, like a big title because it wasn't John Woo involved or something like that.
Yeah.
And it kind of prided itself. It's like
that was PS2 though, wasn't it?
Xbox 360.
Okay, yeah.
It kind of prided itself in destructible scenery. So there's an amazing bit which is set in essentially virtual copy of, I think it's the Field Museum, where across that whole level you're in a gunfight with loads of goons and you're sliding everywhere, and you're basically just shooting up not only dinosaurs but things like dodos and Archaeopteryx, pterosaurs and thylacines in the background, which is kind of cool.
You get an achievement in Stranglehold for shooting all the bones.
I think you do, yeah. Is it paleontologist?
Paleontologist, yeah.
There's a couple of games which dish out the paleontologist achievement for doing various bits and pieces.
Nice.
And one of my favourite blog posts, if I say so myself, is... like, well, how do you, what are the common, I guess, like mechanics or tropes of getting dinosaurs in games? So obviously time travel is one of them. So you go back in time, to the time of the dinosaurs. Another one is you just somehow just magically bring them back. So
Jurassic Park style-y.
Jurassic Park style-y. I mean, Pokemon to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I think, was it the Dinosaur King series? Where you find some fossils and chuck them in a machine and it brings them back to life.
Nice. And then you've got Turok.
And then you've got games like Turok. Oh, what is happening with Turok? That is time travel now.
It is and it isn't. So the dinosaurs evolved into an actual species of hominids. And also they still have dinosaurs as well. So it's a weird one, that.
And sometimes there's just dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Like Final Fantasy has basically dinosaur characters throughout it.
Yeah.
And I don't even know their play. I meant to check before. I mean, we didn't know because we just pulled the D. So why would I have checked before? There's a whole series of amazing Flash games based on dinosaurs, such as Velociraptor Safari and Jetpack Brontosaurus. Don't know if you remember those.
Nope.
Excellent games. Jetpack Brontosaurus was you play as a Brontosaurus that kind of dreamily jetpacks through space. And Velociraptor Safari. you would try. You're a Velociraptor with like a pith helmet, just mentally driving a Jeep around.
Okay.
Like... You know, this is at the height of. I just checked. Neither of them are available anymore. I think because Flash doesn't exist anymore, right?
Probably in some form. That's yeah. Probably more safe.
I think the Unity web player died.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, they were just fun. Yeah, there was a whole generation of people who would while away time. They should have been spent playing these short arcadey Flash games, some of which featured dinosaurs.
Mm.
Jurassic Park, perhaps we should focus on Jurassic Park for this segment. Where, in your heart of hearts, where do you think Jurassic Park sits on like the big tree of video game adaptations, right? If you think,
there's
Star Wars is
yeah
really inconsistent. Right? Some absolute belters, and then a lot of dross.
I can't think of any stunning Jurassic Park games. Mm-hmm. I think there was one. It was either called Genesis or it was on the Genesis. but no, I think there was like maybe one or two great ones and the rest are just middling 5 out of 10s.
Yeah. Yeah. There's certainly it's Jurassic Park. It might have just been called Jurassic Park. I played it on the Mega Drive. Probably came out the SNES. And it was just a brutal platformer.
Of course it was, because that's how movie tie-ins work.
Yeah.
In the 16-bit era. Yeah.
Very loosely based on there'd be certain sections where, oh, this bit was in the film. And then there'd be the other bit where like, oh yeah, I don't remember them having to jump on a series of dinghies down a river whilst being at
Oh my god. Yeah.
With
yeah.
the occasional triceratops popping out around the corner.
Is it as bad as the Wayne's World intersection? Intermission. Yeah. Because the rest of that game really, really followed the plot of the movie.
No, it's not quite as bad as that. I did one of the ones I did hunt down when I was really enthusiastic about collecting all these games was Jurassic Park 3: The DNA Factor, which was a puzzle game where you had to fire DNA bases in like a horizontally swirling helix.
Oh, nice.
And so you had to match the base pairs. So there's like two, eight
sort of like, I want to call it Bust a Move, but with a vortex.
Yeah, but yeah, and you had to really precisely position them into this helix.
Good fun, yeah.
And there was a, they even went, the reason why it was really hard, really hard, not that enjoyable to play, but the reason why I endeavored as much as I did is because they did. There is like a story in between the levels about them. I don't know, reconstituting DNA to save the dinosaurs. Something mad like that. But some of the good ones. Well, one of them. I don't know if it's good or not. It's a cult classic, I guess. Is Jurassic Park Trespasser?
Trespasser.
Yeah. Which was kind of famous now and inspired. Like, it was doing a lot that then kind of made it into subsequent games. But it was just way too ambitious. So it was 1998. I think it was just PC. Yeah. And you may have come across it because the main character, her health bar was on her boobs. Do you remember this?
Oh, God, no.
And so you had to look
pioneering
down
the way for all video games.
And so you had to, like, look down at your chest to see how full, I think it's like a heart tattoo is. And they made these huge, like, bold claims about... you know, how accurate the dinosaurs were. I mean, you look at screenshots now, you're like, fucking hell, how was this the peak of anything? It just looks like a really bad Turok, to be honest. Turok without the fog. But then they had this really complex kind of AI, in the old-fashioned sense of AI,
yeah,
where dinosaurs would have, you know, complex motivations and inner lives and interactions. But then on launch, like, even that didn't work. So for some reason, they were just all set to maximum aggressive all the time. when they were just given choice with all this kind of this artificial intelligence, they just kind of zoned out. They didn't do anything. They wouldn't go and drink or eat or fight each other. So they ended up, I think, just a quick fix, and it just turned them into maximum aggressive.
Great, fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. They had like options paralysis, basically, when they were given enough intelligence.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't know what to do. And just kind of end up doing
procrastinate. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Massively.
Excellent.
massively procrastinate. Yeah, and then, as you mentioned before, Operation Genesis was
right, okay. But yeah, that's like good. One of the best ones or something like that, yeah?
Yeah, very good park building game. And now there is I did try it. It's it's a gacha game.
Okay.
Jurassic Park, is it Evolution or something like that? Evolution 2. Which did end up getting, I think it's one of those weird ones which ended up getting a port to consoles. Yeah. Looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it's quite highly regarded as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
9 out of 10.
Might be wrong in saying that it started out as a gacha game. It was definitely a very popular Jurassic Park gacha game.
77 on Metacritic, and yeah, like over 95% in customer reviews on Steam. Yeah, yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, so it looks great. I had a campaign. Yeah, good. And then the Lego Jurassic World.
Jurassic World.
I enjoyed that. It was a
Did you?
The old films, the new films, yeah. But I think the Jurassic World content in Lego Dimensions was better.
Okay.
Even though it was kind of identical. The hub was almost identical.
Crazy.
You're basing it on Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But it was cool to, you know, play as Stun Rod Man in Doctor Who land or Harry Potter land.
Yeah, or Stun Rod Man. Chris Pratt.
No. So Chris Pratt was one of the characters, and then another one was Like the asset containment unit guys.
Okay.
So it's just like a guy with a stun rod. And I really liked playing as the man with a stun rod because everyone else is Batman, Gandalf, Sonic the Hedgehog, Emmett from the Lego Movie. Who else was in it?
Oh, just Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters. And then Stun Rod Man from Jurassic World. So yeah, I kind of liked, you know, I think I like pretty much just role played as this guy who just turned up to his day at work and things went really weird driving around in the mystery machine and whatnot.
Fantastic.
Yeah. What a mental series. I really wish they'd re-release that but without the toy aspect to it.
Yeah,
it was a great thing. Well, that was huge. And weirdly, I was playing on the Wii U. Not weirdly, stupidly, I was playing on the Wii U. Which, you know, all the DLC for that just instantly filled the internal memory of the Wii. Do you have any special shout-outs for Dinosaurs and Games?
I want to say Riptor.
Oh, yeah, in Killer Instinct.
Yeah. I'm guessing he was your favourite character.
He was, but it hurt me.
Yeah.
Hurt my soul because he was it. She? I think maybe it was she.
Them.
They. Let's just cover all bases. They. Their ultra was hard to pull off.
Yeah.
Because it was, I think it was the shoulder buttons.
Oh, right, okay. But yeah.
So it was just really, unlike Orchid and Forgor and Sablewolf and Jago, pretty much all the characters. I think Spinals is quite difficult. I could never kind of consistently hit Riptor's ultra.
Forgor's ultra was pretty brutal as well because you had to do that tiny little eye laser in the middle and that was a shoulder button one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I could hit that more consistently than I ever could Riptor's.
Yeah, yeah.
And his combo, sorry, their combos. He's got all those string moves, right, which are kind of your bread and butter for building combos. Was kind of like a back forward thing, which is also not my.
Oh yeah, the pull back and release.
But with like I think with like a circle, so it would kind of do a forward somersault, and that was
yeah.
Launched most of your combos. I think it was an uppercut that did it as well. Yeah. And then sadly, the level music was a bit uninspiring. It's just like generic jungle drum themed. But yeah, it's cool.
Animal Crossing, create your own museum.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
That was very cool.
You would randomly find these dinosaur bones by digging around your little village. And you get them appraised by a dude. I think, was there not like a thing where you could only do this like once a day or something?
In the older games, because I don't think either of us have played the latest one, right?
No.
In the older games, I think you'd only get something like 3 fossils a day. And then there'd be some, it would be random as to what they were. So when your museum was near complete, they'd be like, you know, I just need the middle quarter section of Triceratops to complete the museum, and all I keep getting is ammonites and the parts of them.
But they were good money.
Yeah, they were good money. And the latest game, because I did have a look at what was in the museum, is beautiful. The different fossils that you can get. But it did raise some, you know, because there's all kinds of fan theories about how Animal Crossing works, right? Is it like some kind of simulation of like these identikit villages or some like behavioral control? And if you look at the paleontology of the region as well as the flora and fauna, it raises some really interesting questions. You know, so just under the surface you can find Mesozoic, Cenozoic, Paleozoic fossils.
They've been put there as temptation from Satan.
Yeah. Really, really obvious. There's no like digging any deeper.
Looking for strata and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Just a really weird, ubiquitous geological set universal geological setting.
Yeah.
I think. And then, yes, my favourite, and then there's just a dinosaur, are, did you ever play Death Trap Dungeon?
Death Trap Dungeon, I think we talked about this in detail, where you play as the bad guy? No.
No. That's no. The one we got confused. That's
Death Trap Dungeon. And it, is it not like, oh, no, tell me about Death Trap Dungeon.
So Death Trap Dungeon was based on, was it based on, it was like in Livingstone's Death Trap Dungeon.
Oh, no way, okay, cool. That's what I know.
Sorry. It's based on like a choose your own adventure.
Yep.
Called Death Trap Dungeon, which had a lot of, I think it's like one of the Fighting Fantasy series. Yeah, the sixth game book in the Fighting Fantasy series. So it's one of the ones that was quite well known and had a bit of a following and was known for being just brutal. And it was turned into a massively ambitious PlayStation game. And I remember at the time, when did it come out? 1998. It got quite a bit of coverage in the magazines just because it was really for the first time a game that kind of felt like almost like D&D, and that you were heading into this dungeon and it was filled with death traps, and it launched somewhere. I've got, I don't know if they're worth anything, but it launched with a deck of cards, which I think was just, what's the family game, you know,
Happy Families.
I think it was Happy Families. That might be completely wrong.
You got to collect four of the same.
Yeah, they had different suits based on all the enemies in the game. And that's quite fun. But yeah, Death of the Dungeon was really, really difficult, like really challenging. Not only with the death traps, but with the creatures and the bosses. Like brilliant game. That's one of the ones that I really would like to dig out and replay.
It's available on Steam.
Oh, well, it holds up. I wonder if there's like a stack of mods to kind of.
Yeah, there probably is.
Yeah.
But great. Yeah.
Yeah. If that sounds interesting, give it a whirl. And one of the big bads in that is just a 14 levels into Death Trap Dungeon is a big T-Rex.
Yeah. Nice.
Which resembles the T-Rex from Demo 1, which I was also going to mention. And then the other example of there's just dinosaurs is the kind of T-Rex Easter egg. It's not really an Easter egg. I mean, it's a central character in the Tomb Raider games.
Yes.
So yeah, it's the idea that.
Yeah, you open a tomb somewhere, go in a cave, and somehow dinosaurs are still around.
You go into break into whatever cave in the Himalayas, and then go down a waterfall and through a thing. And then somehow in a closed arena with virtually no ecosystem whatsoever are six raptors and a T-Rex.
Yeah.
One T-Rex. That have somehow managed to stay alive. That's always fun. And was it the first game? Or maybe the second game? Yeah, the first game you went through the Lost World. So you know, there's a whole bit where you had to go through dinosaurs. It was the second game. It was just kind of hidden. Yeah, it was. It was hidden under a... you're like going through a tomb with the slicey blades and rolling boulders and all that business. And there's a huge death slide down to like a Buddhist temple. but if you let go halfway through the death slide, which is extremely tempting to do, you kind of fall all the way down, break your legs, but then you'd see this T-Rex stomping around. Oh, no way, there's a T-Rex.
Yeah. And then I remember that. Yeah, that was
kind of
cool.
Work out. Yeah, the second time round, when you load up your save from the save point, instead of going down a death slide, you can just about spot that there's a ledge you can climb across, and down and down this massive ladder, and then you're in a pit with a giant T-Rex.
Great, just exactly what you want.
And again, questions abound about how an individual T-Rex manages to survive in a completely lightless and lifeless pit. If that's what's breaking your
immersion,
then you've got bigger problems.
Exactly, but I think we do need to put a pin in dinosaurs for now, because we have reached the middle of the podcast.
It's the middle of the podcast, and what do we call this time?
Break time.
Break time.
Break time.
For those of you who remember the excellent DS title,
Rub Rabbits,
but here it was it called Project Rub?
Wow. Yeah.
We got really weirdly it got a different title here because I think it was a bit too provocative.
Yeah.
So here it was called
Project Rub.
In America it's called Fill the Magic XYXX.
Okay.
And in Europe and Australia, it was called Project Rub.
Okay.
And in Japan, it was called Kimi no Tame na Shineru, which means I would die for you.
Okay.
But the if it isn't early, we'll explain break time. It was an early DS game, I seem to remember. 2005? Is that stuck up? From Sega. And it was a bunch of mini games where essentially you were trying to woo a woman. Well, it started off as you're trying to kind of woo a woman, but we played through various touchscreen games, which got increasingly bizarre. Like you'd have to remove goldfish from somebody's stomach, or like ride a unicorn. It's very good. It is very good. But halfway through these mini games, they would say there would be break a time, and then you'd have a break. So that's what we're doing for this season. And during break time, we will quiz each other with the ultimate video game trivia. Are you ready for the first ever ultimate video game trivia?
I am braced, ready, and prepared.
This is quite a tricky question, I think. In online gaming, what does the acronym MOBA mean? Yeah, see what I mean?
I mean, I know what MOBAs are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're massively, or no, multiplayer online battle arena.
Well done.
Yeah.
Good pull.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. You ready? You prepped?
Yeah.
Good. In which entry of the Assassin's Creed series?
Yeah.
Does Cesar Borgia appear as the main antagonist?
It is one of the ones I've played. So me and my wife are chipping away at the series from either end. So playing like the last one and then the first one. Is it Assassin's Creed 2 Brotherhood?
No, it just says Assassin's Creed Brotherhood here.
Okay. I mean, I think that is Assassin's Creed 2 Brotherhood.
Okay.
Or was it a spin-off? Oh, that's another one of those examples. Callback to last season.
Yeah, of what is...
It's the third game in the series!
Yeah.
But it's two games before Assassin's Creed 3. Yeah, it's the third game in the series. And there's another game after that, then Assassin's Creed 3. Oh well, close. Voiced by Robert Clotworthy, who is the protagonist of StarCraft II Wings of Liberty?
Robert Clotworthy.
Clotworthy.
The protagonist.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever played StarCraft II Wings of Liberty?
Yeah.
I mean, name a man from StarCraft, I guess.
I can't remember his name. I want to say he's like Jim.
Yeah.
That's all I can remember.
What's his rank, do you reckon?
Oh, probably... I mean, he was from the first game as well.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that Kerrigan,
So what's his military rank, do you reckon? It's quite high.
Corporal, captain, general.
Oh, yeah. General. Yeah. General.
General Jim.
Yeah.
Pringles.
Rainer. I'll give you half a point.
Okay.
I could hear you.
The cogs
wrenching that from your memory. Yeah, as you were speaking. Pure recall, nothing else.
Right. Okay. Right. Cast your mind back to when you were, but just a babe, or indeed before. Yes, okay. Very, very, very much before. Released in 1971. Which computer game? I said that weird. Which computer game featured a journey to Willamette Valley and a possible game over due to the player dying from dysentery?
Is that Oregon Trail?
It is Oregon Trail. And that's the end of the middle of the podcast.
That's the end of break. Actually, before we end break time.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a podcast another time. Do you recognize a difference between video game and computer game?
No.
Okay. I recently learned that some people do. I just thought computer games, what we used to call them before, they were big enough. But some people still use it as a this means this and this means this.
Yeah, they're probably wrong. I think they're interchangeable nowadays.
Nowadays they are, yeah. Anyway, there you go. Book aside. Yeah. We're in the second half of the podcast, Richie, and what's our theme?
Our theme is spiders.
Okay, what you got?
So I have decided to talk about a few of spiders in video games.
That's good to know.
Yeah, well, I mean, considering that is the theme. But before we jump straight into it, spiders are almost always bad guys.
Almost, yeah. I would
struggle to find a situation where spiders weren't the bad guys.
They are, in modern parlance, normally evil coded.
Yes. They are, like, siding with Satan. Absolutely. And you generally get two types of spiders in video games.
Yeah.
You get spiders with long spindly legs and sharp pointy toes. And those sharp pointy toes generally end up sort of working like fangs or blades as well. Mm-hmm. Or you get sort of fat teddy bear ones.
Yeah.
Which have the big pads and are sort of more tarantula-like.
Yes, I agree. I'd add a third category.
Okay, yeah, go on.
When video games, particularly tie-ins or computer games, were uninspired and everything was a platformer, spiders as well as snakes were like a generic enemy in a huge amount of them.
Yes.
But they'd just be like a black circle with like four lines off either side.
Yeah.
That would probably just like annoyingly jump up or dangle down from the ceiling.
Yes.
That's our third archetype of spider, I think.
Yeah. There's also the spider that's not sure if it's a face hugger or not as well.
Yeah.
Sort of like head crabs as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although technically only four legs.
Yes.
But yes, let's not delve into that because I'm sure there has been many depictions of spiders which do not fit the criteria of eight legs, etc.
No.
So I'm actually just going to start with a few shout-outs and I'm going to let you also step in. First and foremostly, as a blog about Resident Evil, we have spiders in Resident Evil.
Dude, we've not seen them for a while.
No, to be honest, I was thinking about it, and I was like, when I think of spiders in Resident Evil, they never made it into Resident Evil 2. Or did they? Were they down?
They did,
down in the sewers, weren't they? Okay.
But there's only like two corridors where
it's possible to see them.
After your third replay, you're just like, okay, I just I just need to run through it. There's no point stopping.
Yeah.
If I just belt it,
they won't catch up.
They won't catch up.
They'll shoot their venom.
Yeah. Or they'll drop. And there's one of the corridor runs where you see them. You kind of belt it down there, and then the screen changes.
Yeah.
And you can see that there was one on the ceiling as you run past, and all you hear is the like
thud.
Yeah. And then. Yeah. It'd be really annoying if they did spray you and get you, because then you'd be poisoned, and you really never wanted to be carrying around a blue herb.
Never. Like, but I think you were also quite close to your what's it called?
Chest.
Stash. So you could always just get that one next.
If you'd bothered picking them up, because you know, once you got it down pat, you'd be like, there's literally no point to ever need a blue herb.
I think I was still always. I never speed runned. I think it was mostly always just I need everything just sped in round. Case. Sped round.
Anyway, you were saying when you think of spiders in Resident Evil.
Yeah, no, I think of the Resident Evil 1 guardhouse.
Yeah, that's the room with the billiard table.
Yeah, and there's also like a completely webbed room where you fight a spider boss.
Oh, yeah.
Which is again. Another trope from video games is like lots and lots of tiny little spiders. Oh, slightly larger spider must be like the king or the queen or the boss.
Yeah. And they'll annoy you whilst the big one does some damage to you.
Yeah.
Did the spider ever have a name? Black Tiger in the remaster?
Black Tiger.
Apparently.
Oh, come on. I feel like that's a mistranslation, like Donkey Kong, monkey, tiger, spider, monkey, donkey, tiger, spider.
One of these begins.
I love the fact you're not even registering the bullshit I'm saying.
No, I'm not. I just vamp for time or so to read it. This fellow was. Umbrella researchers at the facility had some of their BOWs marked for disposure. Disposure.
Disposal,
I think they mean, right?
Maybe it's disposure a thing.
Maybe.
Removing the exposure.
Anyway, one of these began to mutate unexpectedly, growing even larger than its fellow web spinners and developing a more concentrated venom in its abdomen, the Black Tiger. This spider also regained the ability to spin webs, something lost by the ironically named web spinners.
Okay. Not ironically named.
Well, they are, because they can't spin their webs.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Apparently, because they've lost their ability, according to Resident Evil Archives. Oh, I regret not buying that book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to see the return of Resident Evil spiders?
I want a Resident Evil 1 remake done like the recent ones.
But you've already got remake. It's right there.
But it's not the same. Like this new engine, the Umbrella engine.
Yeah.
But Resident Evil 1, I think it would be much better.
Is it the Umbrella engine?
I forget. No, I think Biohazard engine.
Something engine.
Yeah.
Steam engine?
No.
Dream engine?
Choo choo tank engine.
Vape for time.
I think
RE engine. Okay.
RE engine. But yeah. The remake that was done, I mean that was done like well over a decade ago. And we've had Resident Evil 4, which came out after the remake or around the same time already. I think we're due a Resident Evil 1 revisit.
I think you need to play remake.
Why?
Get over the fact that the mansion's different. It is really good. It's very good.
The mansion's different though.
It is, but that's what's going to be remade, actually.
Nah, they would remake the original.
No, they'd remake the remake.
Nah. They wouldn't put in all those stupid things and the crimson heads and all that sort of stuff. No.
And Lisa Trevor's.
Ugh.
Hey, listen, you know in Resident Evil 3?
Yes.
Both of them.
Yes.
When you go to the power station.
Sure.
And you get those horrible things which dangle down and can take your head off with one slice.
Oh, the monkeys, the purple monkeys.
No, they're in Resident Evil 1.
Yeah,
Resident
okay.
3. What are they? Are they spiders?
You know what? Yeah, they probably are spiders. But what is the thing that hangs down? Is it their front claws like this?
Yeah, they grab on and then... then... Oh, I just googled Resident Evil 3 head. I didn't click on images, thank you. Power plant. What are they called?
Maybe they're probably just hunters. Versions of hunters.
Substation. Raccoon substation. Yes. Yes.
Nemesis.
Nemesis. Drain Deimos. Deimos.
Deimos.
Deimos.
Drain Deimos. Okay, so let's look this up. This is so fun. I love it when we make a podcast where we're just Google imaging. Yeah, they look spidery enough to be spiders. Although, six legs. Yeah, no, they look like the purple monkeys.
They don't have any origin story.
Eh. They're, like, they're called Drain Deimos, so maybe it's like... It is the gunk you get in drains that's mutated.
It's like some poor little drain fly. Okay.
Yeah. Well, evolved drain flies. Yeah, yeah.
Honorary shout out to Drain Deimos. Deimos.
Yeah. Deimos. In the spider vein.
Yeah.
Okay. My other shout out, because we're going to step away from the RE world, but still keeping to the late 90s. Ocarina of Time had the Skulltulas.
Oh, yeah.
But more horrifically, there was the people that had somehow merged with the spiders. So there is a house that you can go to, and these polygons have got, like, people's eyes and their mouths sort of drawn to one side, sort of coming out the back of a spider's abdomen sort of thing. Okay. And
what do you know?
I don't know, actually, off the top of my head. I'll vamp for time.
I'm looking, is it in the house of Skulltula?
Yeah, probably, yeah. But basically, part of the Ocarina of Time game is to go through, collect the gold Skulltula tokens, and this somehow frees them from the curse. So you're going around and you're looking for these, and they then become less spidery. But yeah, quite horrific, actually. Sort of like I'm body horror stuff.
The sprite of a cursed rich man.
And but like, you see, it is weird because it is proper body horror, because they're coming out like upside down or hanging from like the abdomen, and there's like a leg coming out of the head and stuff like that. It's really really
and quite then, like, one of the legs looks like a spindly spider leg, but then it's got like a
hand at the end. Like, that is nightmare fuel. Pure nightmare fuel. Nightmare fuel.
What did this man do to get the curse?
That's a good question. Please don't look it up, though. You're looking it up, aren't you?
Yeah, it's not obvious.
No. Okay, good. Yeah.
Also in Majora's Mask.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember them too much. I do remember, like, collecting a lot of the Skulltulas, because I think you got some good rewards each time you unlocked them.
How many were there? 100?
Yeah, something like that.
Christ.
Well, no, probably not 100. But
yeah, that was 100.
It was 100. Wow.
Yeah.
Because it would be a reason to go back to old dungeons as well. It's like, mm-hmm. Now I've unlocked the floaty boots, I'll be able to go to this room. And you go to the room and you're like, there's a gold skull tooler that I can get. But I can't reach it and I need the extra long hook shot, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so shout out to them. And yeah. I mean, like, I think they're one of the first sort of enemies you sort of, when you go into the Deku Tree, you get the weird sort of Venus flytrap enemies, and then you've got the spiders that just drop down. Really, really good sound effect. My interpretation of it was awful. and then they spin around, and you've got to hit the underneath of them,
yeah,
find their weak spot.
In the best Legend of Zelda game, the only one that I've played many times, Legend of Zelda Link's Crossbow Training, there's a whole thing where you have to kind of shoot them, spin them around, then shoot them again.
Yeah, exactly that. It's the same thing in the game. Cool. That's it for Legend of Zelda. My other nod to spiders in video games, and I'm sure there are millions of them, is to the Devil May Cry series. They love a spider. And quite famously, I think one of the first bosses that you fight in Devil May Cry 1, his name is Phantom. And he's a big spider to start with. And I don't know if you remember, did you ever play Devil May Cry 1?
I did, but it's just not in the memory banks as much as
two
and three are.
He's kind of made of rocks, and he's got lava in between.
Yes, I remember him now.
But he has a phase two where his abdomen actually unfurls and it becomes a scorpion tail.
Nice.
And I think his front claws become pincers as well.
Yeah.
So that's really, really cool. I like that transition. And also in Devil May Cry 3... there were quite feminine arachnes. So they were like the souls of women, but they were also spiders, and there would be like screams and stuff like that. That ring any bells with you, Devil May Cry 3? Oh yeah, like Devil May Cry loves spiders.
Spiders, snakes, and scorpions feature a lot as bosses. Right, I'm thinking of lots of bullet hell games.
Yeah,
and side-scrolling shooters where you'd have like animal-themed bosses, and then thinking about Devil May Cry, Resident Evil. Those kind of encounters, like, oh yeah, it's the spider boss.
Yeah, like you've said the spider boss more times in your life than you can imagine.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's as commonplace as like the helicopter boss. I would always be like an early boss.
Yeah, that or final boss as well.
Yeah.
Horrible helicopter bosses. And my last shout out, so hopefully you have some spiders and games that you want to talk about. Good. My last shout out is actually a game that I've not played, but whilst I was researching, I thought this looks amazing. But Limbo, you know the game Limbo?
Oh, yeah.
They've got a very spindly legged, falls in the category of the spindly spider that's just following, and I was just watching like images of this, and like, that is beautiful but absolutely horrific because it's kind of like a shadow of a spider, and it's kind of fluid as well. Really, really, really cool. I dig that.
I think I remember reading that the Limbo spiders are one of the ones which triggered like a big conversation about these games are awful for arachnophobes, and that there were like a bunch of arachnophobic gamers who kind of got together because unlike I guess most of the spiders that we've discussed, which are kind of, you know, a bit comedy, or they tend to be the big fat kind, there's something about the limbo spiders which do embody, I think, where most people are afraid of, right? Most people, I don't think, are afraid of those big,
I think the big body tarantulas are quite triggering for a lot of people.
But I think, but you know, they're not the kind which you'll be laying in bed and you look at the ceiling and you'll see.
Yeah.
you know, or they're not the kind that will like pop up out of the plug hole. But there was something about the animation in Limbo, and also the, you know, famously the fact that there's like a lurking dread all the time, rather than it being, you know, you can see it and its face and its glowing weak spots. But yeah, kind of did trigger this moment of actually quite a few gamers are arachnophobic, and perhaps we need to do something about this. And there is some game, I can't remember if they did it for spiders, there's some game which has like a toggle in the settings, so you can turn off something. I'm not too sure if it's spiders or something similar, something else that has like quite a lot of phobias.
Yeah, I guarantee that is definitely a thing.
Yeah,
like there'll be people who will have made mods to remove spiders from the game and things like that.
If you look, there's lots of threads saying like, how bad are the spider encounters in Limbo, how bad are the spider encounters in da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, so like there's one of the things in World of Warcraft, but back in the day when I played it, was I played a hunter. I always wanted to have a spider, just because it would freak everybody out, because you send the spider in, so all the people who are like fighting the boss in melee would then have this screeching noise of the spider coming in and fighting alongside them. But just because I'm a horrible person.
Yeah. Just give me that competitive edge.
Not really. They weren't even like viable as pets, but griefing and also griefing.
Oh, the fucking, speaking of annoying spider, the thing, the spider that's ingrained the most fear in me, this is the second time we mentioned this game's podcast, is the tarantula in Animal Crossing.
Is that one of the bugs that you can pick up on the island?
It was one of the ones where they'd only spawn at a certain time of year, so the tarantula and the scorpion, and you'd have to approach them really carefully, otherwise they would run and bite you and then disappear, and they were quite rare as well.
So not only were you like trying to catch them for the first time, but you could also do yourself a wrong. Yeah,
because then you'd have to wait until whatever, 8 o'clock the next day during summer, in order to have a chance to catch them. And it'd be thrilling, because you'd be hairing across your village, as you normally are, you know, collecting plants, digging out fossils, etc. And then you kind of see it out the corner, you go, right, get the net on, and like slowly creep up to it. And then, you know, an elephant made out of patchwork would come over and watch you do it. And there was like a really specific kind of distance it had to be in order for you to scoop it up. But that would genuinely create a sense of fear, because it's like fear of missing it, and also just the brutal, like when it bites you and you kind of pass out and wake up and then it's gone. Missed the tarantula for another day.
Yeah.
Is that you done with your shout outs?
That is my shout outs.
I would like to raise two very good non-evil Satan coded spiders.
Nice.
One in a game that I've recently played is the very excellent It Takes Two.
Okay, yeah.
Have you played that?
Nope.
I thoroughly recommend it. It's one of these games which comes thoroughly recommended, and you see I don't know, the trailer for it, and I don't know, but it is genuinely brilliant.
Yeah, I feel like it was the same with Goose Game.
Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so the thing about It Takes Two is it's couch co-op. And it's brilliant. It takes the idea of like, what if, you know, in two-player games where one person has to hold the lever and the person goes through and then they find the lever.
Yeah.
What if we took moments like that but made them more interesting and just made a whole game out of them? And the story's nutty and it goes all kinds of places and it's like really emotional at the end through these two characters. But you're both doing different things, and I think the reason why it's a success is because both things are also really interesting.
Okay.
And kind of perfectly designed for you to be able to fuck each other up as well. So a lot of the progress in that game is just abandoned because, you know, you're relying on the other person to fire arrows to create a platform for you to jump across, but they could also like remove the arrows at the same time. So, you know, like removing them as just as you jump and you go, ha 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 ha, okay, no, seriously, let's do it this time. And then, yeah, they kind of do that. It's a really, 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 really fun game. And if there's two of you and you're looking for a game to play and it's catch co-op, it's not too difficult, but it's by no stretch of the imagination easy either. Stick with the story starts really badly, in that you hate two of the three characters. They grow on you.
Okay.
They just, I don't know, something about the way they've done it is they got it the wrong way around. But you start off being like, oh, I'm not too sure I can deal with like 16 hours of these two guys. But no, it's great. But they have a level where there are two spiders and they're friendly spiders.
Nice. Good.
And you ride on them. Spoilers. You ride on them. And so they're kind of like very helpful. And just helpful and friendly coded. And they do a cool bit where you're kind of like, you know, walking on the underside of tree trunks and stuff, and the camera changes perspective. So that's my most recent shout out for good friendly spiders in games. And the other one, which comes up way too often on this podcast, is Deadly Creatures.
Deadly Creatures.
Excellent game. Did it only come out for the Wii? I think the Wiimote was kind of essential to its place. Maybe it did. Yeah.
Okay.
THQ game. And you play as a scorpion and a tarantula.
Oh, nice.
So you play the whole game from their perspective. So yeah, so by its very nature, you are kind of the protagonist, just playing around as a spider. And it's lovely because everything's kind of at that scale, and you're kind of crawling through and under around these human environments.
Oh, that's quite cool. That's quite nice. Yeah.
Really, really love that game. And even though you're just stuck in a boot as a tarantula and a scorpion, there is a storyline. Someone really famous. Oh, it's Dennis Hopper and Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
Voice these characters. So you kind of follow their story whilst you're stoned about as a spider and scorpion. Really, really good. And just, there are far too few games where you play as a thing rather than a person or a humanoid. You know, you play as a non-humanoid organism throughout.
Yeah.
And it's really fun, and I wish there was a bit more than that. So that, when we were playing It Takes Two, that reminded me of that, because you use your web to access different places. Oh, I love Deadly Creatures. Why haven't we had more of those type of games?
Yeah, I dig that.
Yeah. And sadly, it's just stuck on the Wii, it seems, so...
Yeah.
Tough.
Tough indeed.
Watch a playthrough, I guess.
Wait for the movie, although Dennis Hopper probably not going to voice it.
No, or Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, yeah, true.
So, yeah, there we go. Two good spiders.
Nice work finding them. But I think we need to draw the first episode of our season 4 to an end.
Do you know what I'm surprised about?
What are you surprised
about? Talk about sexy spider ladies.
Well, I kind of glossed over sexy spider ladies in Devil May Cry 3.
They were definitely more spiders than ladies.
Okay.
I was thinking, like, if you slide the slider a little bit more towards ladies than spiders, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, like where they've got like sort of a mermaid, except it's got spider
boobs
legs
and spider legs. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. And tapping into that whole trope of being a man eater, black widow type thing.
But like, I can't even think of a game which has them.
Well, when you talk about Devil May Cry, in my mind,
there's a boss.
But she's the bat lady.
Sexy bat lady, yeah.
There you go. Bats, spiders, and scorpions. Those are all evil coded.
Yep. Oh, great. God. Poor bats. Although Batman does offer quite a lot of
counterbalance.
Yeah. Oh, and suppose Spider-Man.
Oh, fuck, yeah. What a brilliant way to end the podcast. That's it.
Yeah,
that guy's a maniac.
Why'd he bite me? Why'd he radioactively bite me?
Oh my god, it was perfect the whole time. Idiot.